sadly, we're hearing that not many survivors now are emerging from the rubble. Is that true?
Well, again, that's unconfirmed at the moment, because what you've got is a substantial amount of buildings that are collapsed, and there will be voids in those buildings. What I can say is there's probably a very, very small percentage of those buildings that have been searched at the moment. So if there's 95% left to search, that's a lot of buildings to search, and there's a chance that there are live casualties still inside those buildings. And cases have been known, you know, where the people have survived for 4 or 5 days, even longer in some cases, but the number of people you're likely to find, you know, once you've gone beyond 5 or 6 days, it just diminishes, obviously, because you're not getting what they need, which is the water and the emergency medical aid. We are quite hopeful within the next 2 to 3 days, you know, that we can carry out the search and rescue and hopefully carry out a significant number of rescues such as we did in Pakistan.
In human terms, I know that you're used to seeing devastation and obviously loss of life in the job that you do, but, I mean, how do you put that into words?
Well, the job that we do, you know, it prepares you a little towards what you'd find in a situation like this, but it really is indescribable. You tend not to think about it too much because you're focused on what you're doing, and it tends to hit home once you return, you know, back and you get back into your family life, really. That's the time to start reflecting, and when people, you know, will probably start to get upset about things. But whilst they're here, they, you know, they're very professional, they're well trained to do this, and that's what they'll do.
I know, I mean, from a professional point of view, it's a job that you've got to do and you've got to stay focused on that. But there must be so many distractions with so much heartbreak and upset over there at the moment. And as you say, that fight for survival.
That's right, and you have to stay focused. You can easily get sidetracked. Everybody's crying out for your help, even if it's to recover a dead family member. Unfortunately, at this moment in time, we are committed to searching for live casualties. At some stage within the next few days, that phase of the operation will be scaled down and it'll move into the next phase. Having said that, you know, the teams we've got can assist towards that next phase, which is looking towards providing the humanitarian aid that's required and distributing that where required.
Now, we've heard, of course, that the airport at the moment isn't coping too well with the amount of relief effort that's trying to get in. Is that likely to improve?
It's likely to get worse, to be honest. I mean, it's not the biggest airport in the world. And if you can imagine, if a city like Manchester had suffered an earthquake of this magnitude, the number of relief aircraft coming in, then Manchester Airport would find it very difficult to cope as well. There's people and agencies coming from all over the world, and that's not just search and rescue, that's all other forms of humanitarian aid. At the airport at the Dominican Republic, at the moment, I can count 10 planes that are waiting to go down to Haiti, you know, and take their turn in the slot.
So the aid is there, it's waiting to go, but of course it can't reach the victims who need it.
Well, that's correct, because the airport is operating to its capacity at the moment, and unfortunately, for safety reasons, that can't be increased. What is happening, though, is as planes are coming down, the personnel and the goods on board are being unloaded very quickly, and the plane departs to let another plane in its place. So, yeah, they are working to the capacity, but unfortunately, they can't take any more than they're taking at the moment.
Realistically, Peter, how long do you think that the Haitian people can carry on like this?
Well, obviously, you know, it is a very poor country. I mean, the part that we're doing, search and rescue, is a very short phase, you know, of any operation to do with relief efforts. Once it moves into the second stage, you know, that's going to go on for months, if not years. You know, we're still seeing the effects in Pakistan now. They've not totally recovered 5 years after the earthquake, and Haiti will be very much the same.
And how is law and order bearing up there?
Well, again, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. As I said to you earlier, it's human instinct. You know, people want to survive, tempers get flared, You know, but I don't think there's anything that's causing us cause for concern at the moment. Obviously, we'll keep a very watchful eye on the security issues. And if it does, you know, lean towards us having to stop operations temporarily, then that's what we'll have to do.
But who's protecting you? Because these are poor people, they're desperate people, and you could be an easy target, couldn't you, yourselves?
You could be an easy target, but fortunately, in disasters such as this, the people know why we're there to help. And they tend to welcome us, you know, into the society. They know we're there to help, so they tend to leave us alone.
Well, that's good to hear, Peter. OK, you take care over there, mate, and good luck with the efforts.
OK, thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. Bye for now. Bye-bye.